All right, we're on our series talking about Galatians, and as we continue on in this series in Galatians, we're going to be looking at chapter 5 today, and this is the sixth part of it. And it's been talking a lot about freedom in Christ, and what grace is all about, and how all that kind of comes into our life. And we, as Christians, if we're a Christian here today, you know, it talks about, you know, the idea, you know, we obtain our freedom in Christ, but also we need to maintain our freedom in Christ. And that's kind of what we've been looking at, because some of the believers in the Galatian churches were falling away. They was falling back into legalism and all these things that pull them away. The fact is that God has called us to rule and reign with Him. And many times we also, though, fall victim to the old ways of living. You know, the old life, and that life doesn't really help us to walk in the victory that God's called us to do. So what happens is that usually the problem starts in our thought life, how we think, the things that's going through our mind. And when we break focus, we start believing the lie. So when we break focus on the truth of God's word and we start living by our circumstances and our situations, then things start to fall apart and they start to unravel, and things don't go the way that they should. The first verse we're going to look at today, we're going to look at a few verses. Next week, we're going to look at the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit, and I didn't want to dive into those today, so we're going to stop just short of those passages. And I encourage you next week or during this week to kind of read ahead and look at those. Has a lot of good information in there talking about the fruit of the flesh, and you know, maybe you can circle the ones. No, don't do that. The fleshly things that we do. And then we got the fruit of the Spirit. Hopefully highlight all those. Amen. You know, and just kind of, you know, see that we're walking. And it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So you can do it. Don't think you can't. Don't think that you cannot walk in love or joy. Amen. Because it's the Holy Spirit. It's not you. It's just, you know, we have to get past ourselves. That's another idea in itself, isn't it? So Galatians 5:1 says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Let's pray. Father God, we honor you. We thank you, Lord, for the stirring of your spirit in each of our hearts today, Lord, that we want to draw close to you. We thank you, Lord, that we know what the world tastes like, and it doesn't taste good, Lord. We just want a taste of the things of God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here today, moving in our midst. We thank you for touching our hearts and minds today. Lord, I thank you for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation, and I yield to the gift you put in me, and I use it for your glory. And I pray for words that will pierce and penetrate in Jesus' name. Amen. So, it says, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. So, why is freedom so important to God? God could have created us without free will and freedom, and we would have had to follow Him. We would have had to worship Him. But why is freedom so important? I mean, God went to great lengths to free us up. And when man was created in the Garden of Eden, they were free. They had free will, right? So this is something evidently that God really, it's important to Him that we understand what that freedom's all about. See, God wants us to be free to serve Him because we want to and not because we have to. And there's a difference in that. Like the old illustration I use is that we used to have hunting dogs. And we didn't let the coon dogs loose, because when you let the coon dogs loose, they would, they wouldn't come back. They didn't love us. But I had a bird dog. I had a bird dog, and her name was Tony, with an I. And every night, I would feed and water her, and I would let her off her chain. And she would get to go run, but she always came back. See, the test of love is when you take the chains off. That's when love kicks in. Now, the coon dogs, like I said, they just had a different attitude all the way around. You know, because I fed them in the evening, or, you know, and it wasn't dark yet, but they would, think it's time to go hunting, and that's our cue to head to the timber, and that didn't work out very good. But the other dog, I mean, that's just, it just worked. I mean, she always came home. And, you know, that's how we ought to be with God. God wants us to not to be afraid of Him and to serve Him out of fear. We serve Him out of awe. And the fear of the God is the beginning of all wisdom. You know, I know God, you know, can be a judgment God. I know that. But also, He's a good God. And I serve Him just because I it's the right thing to do. And see, true love has the ability to choose. That's what we have. God has given us choice. Each and every day, you choose what you want to do. You choose who you want to serve. You choose the direction that you want to go. And that's the responsibility of freedom, and that freaks some people out. Because they just don't like to make those kind of decisions, I guess. But, you know, freedom in Christ, what it does, freedom in Christ reveals our true identity. That's who God created us to be. He created us not to be in bondage to certain things, certain lusts, certain things of this world, certain carnal cravings. These things that sometimes you and I struggle with. You know, God wants us to have the victory over those things. Addictions, many addictions in our life that people are addicted to, that for whatever reason it seems like they have control. Jesus wants to set us free from those things. He wants us to walk in freedom. He wants us to walk in His power. Amen. To be able to break those things. And it's the grace that He supplies. Now, grace can be kind of confusing. I just want to tie this in again. I just seen something on the internet, and this guy was talking about you don't have to repent to be saved, you know, because that wouldn't be grace. You know, it just went way too far, way too far. You know, so grace is not, you know, something where God just does everything. We have our part to do. We have to surrender our will. We have to submit our life to Him. Faith without works is dead. You know, so we, you know, we turn from our sins. We choose to want to be free. That's our main decision. Lord, set me free. I want to be free. I don't want to be in bondage to all these things anymore, these things that make me bow my knee to them and I feel so much shame. And these things that just creep up because they're holding us back in life. And Jesus came to set us free. But we have to choose to turn. Repentance means we're going to turn from those things. How many times until you get the victory? Until you get the victory. We can be free. See, we were created to have dominion over the earth. And if you look in the book of Genesis, God gave man dominion. I mean, that's a big responsibility. But they messed up when they partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then that dominion was lost and it was given to the devil. And then Jesus came and He purchased that back. He defeated Satan, doing it through a man's body, and rose from the dead and gave that dominion back to you and I. And we can walk in that dominion. We can walk in that authority. The authority of the believer that we have in Jesus' name. Because there's power in the name of Jesus and all the things that He's called us to do. See, we're free to serve out of love instead of serving out of obligation. You know, I hate those things in life where you have that feeling that you know that you have to instead of want to. Have you ever been in those deals? Maybe some of you are sitting here today because of that feeling. You know what I'm saying? You know, you going to go to church today? Come on. You going to go to church today? Okay, I'll go. I just soon lay in bed and watch it online. No. But they miss out on all the fun, don't they? We've had fun here today. Hey, man, we've had a good day. It's been good. All those people laying in bed right now are going, what'd I miss? Oh, well. But God has called us to have this dominion and to not serve Him out of obligation that we have to do certain things. But God wants us to have that feeling of love and just excitement that we get to. I look forward to serving God. I look forward to all the things that He has for my life. It's an honor and a privilege to serve Him. You know, I know that, you know, I wasted some years. Has anybody ever wasted some years of your life, you know, going your own direction, doing your own thing and thinking you were doing okay, but in reality, as you look back, you were just spinning your wheels. You know what I mean? Or drifting through life. You know, and that's, I just think, you know, every time the kids in the church van, we turn this corner up here, drift, pastor, drift. No, I'm not going to drift. You know, it's a 15-passenger van. It won't drift, you know. You know, they want to drift. And I go, I don't think you really know what that means in this vehicle, you know. If we're drifting, we're in trouble. I mean, that's the way people do. They drift through life. They slide. They have no traction. And they're going through life. Now see, freedom is not the ability to do whatever we want, but true freedom is the ability to do what is right. And that's the honor of our calling, to do what's right. How do we do what's right? You know, walking in God's ways and, you know, swearing to your own hurt, meaning if you gave your word, you keep your word. Amen? You know, I said I'll be there, I'll be there. If I said I love you, I love you. I said all these things, you know, so we got to, you know, get the ability to do what's right and to not just go what feels good at the moment. You know, we live in such a feel-good generation where we're only moved by, you know, we're moved by what we feel. Well, this don't feel comfortable anymore, so I'm going to go over here now. You know what I mean? No. If you said you would do something, you're going to be there, do it, follow through. You know, give God the glory. Ask Him for His grace and power. The key is standing firm. You know, it talks about standing in that scripture. It talks about standing firm. And that word there is saying to be constant and persevere. Consistency is everything. That is the key. Being consistent in whatever we do, whether it be you're reading the Bible or praying or attending church or going to work every day, you know what I'm saying? Now, if you're consistent, you're gonna prosper. Just by being consistent, being steady, you know. A lot of people, you know, people are not consistent. See, in doing that, to be consistent, what we have to do is that you and I, somehow we need to learn how to deal with difficult days. Okay. We're going to have difficult days, right? You all know what those are, right? You've probably been through a few. Maybe you got a difficult day at work, you know, dealing with somebody or something. Maybe you have a difficult day at home dealing with, you know, your loved ones, things that are going on. All the things that happen, learning how to deal with difficult days, because they are going to come. Everybody goes through a difficult day. And that's why we need to learn how to be able to navigate through those things and not allow our emotions to control us. You know, some people quit their job because it's a difficult day and they don't have another job coming. You know what I mean? Well, I'm quit. Then they wait and, oh, no job for 2 or 3 months. All because they gave up on a difficult day. And now they're behind. So learning how to deal with those difficult days, knowing in advance we're all going to have them. So how do we prepare for them? Well, number one, you guard your heart with all diligence. Number two, you don't allow your emotions to control you. And number three, you just suck it up and march. Come on, somebody. Amen. Sometimes you just got to go through. I'm not saying, you know, you got to stay in that job, but line one up before you quit. You know what I'm saying? And give notice in a proper way. Be the better person, you know, and go through those things and learn how to overcome. See, as we learn how to deal with those difficult days, what happens is then we stop stumbling through life when we start standing on the firm foundation. When we're standing on the Word of God, when we're standing on the words of Jesus Christ, and we're starting to stand by knowing what we know to do and knowing the things of God and what is true. Yes, I know that sometimes there is a time frame between amen and there it is. Like I've always said, not every time you say amen are you going to see your prayer answered right then. You know, but there's going to be maybe a little bit of a delay. But delay does not mean denial. But delay will strengthen your faith as long as you hold on to your promise. Amen? That's how our faith grows. When we hold on to the promise of what God has for us, even through all the trials and tribulations and the things that are going on around us, everybody else is freaking out and falling apart, and we're just standing firm. Amen. We're standing on the rock that'll never roll. Jesus Christ is our firm foundation, and we do that, and that's for His glory. Down in verse 4, Galatians 5, verse 4, here's kind of a harsh statement. Paul definitely has a few of them in the Bible, doesn't he? He just says, you have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. You know, this scripture is very blunt in what it says. It says you've been severed from Christ and fallen from grace. And we kind of looked at that a while back and some of those. To me, Paul's just sharing how serious it is to get into works righteousness and out of grace. Now, there's debate whether this about if you can lose your salvation or not. We're not going to go over that today. But this scripture is a little bit alarming, talking about the importance of understanding what grace and faith is and how we keep our thought life proper and surrendering to God and how that works. There's a lot of other scriptures that go into that. But it's important that we see that we need to make sure that when we live our life, we're doing it by the power of Christ so that He gets all the glory. Jesus needs to get all the glory. Now, this scripture, you know, is not talking sometimes about gross sin. Anybody, you know, Christian, we all have our standards, don't we? In some ways, even though we are living by grace through faith, we all have our checklist of what we consider proper and what we consider improper, you know, relations. You know, and everybody's might be a little bit different. You know, somebody might say that, you know, if you're entering into gross sin, you know, you just kind of picture whatever that, don't picture, okay? Just think about what that gross sin, my bad. Just think about what that gross sin might be. But that's not talking about that right here. This is talking about going into legalism. That's what the gross sin is here, is legalism. Where you put yourself under it or try to put other people under it. You know, that's what happens. It's bad enough we put ourself under legalism, right? But have you ever put somebody else under legalism? We judge them by our standard. I thank God we're not the judges. God is the final judge. I preach truth. I try to get them out of their sin. Hey, don't roll the dice on this one, guys. You know what I mean? I see in the Bible, I think you better come over here. Don't play over there. You know, but that's your choice. God gave you a free will. If you think you can do all that and get to heaven, hey, that's your choice. But I wouldn't recommend it. You know? I recommend this. I recommend doing what God says in the Bible. Then we know for sure. Amen. Then we know for sure. See, there's a stark warning about always remembering that we've been saved by grace through faith, and that's found in Ephesians 2. Should be one that we have highlighted in our Bible. And an importance of understanding, you know, what that's all about. And I do thank God that He's the judge and not us. And God looks at the heart. That's one thing that really amazes me. God looks past our actions, looks to our heart. And you as parents are, I know this may not ring true for everybody, but, you know, working with kids for as many years, I don't say I got a double standard, but, you know, after you've worked with a child so long, you kind of know when they're doing the best they can do. You know what I mean? In that situation, you know, based on what they've their life experience and the things and the home life they've been lived in, they've been raised in. So you can kind of tell they're to the, you know, some other teacher coming in from outside, oh man, how do you handle that? I go, this kid was doing their best today. They get an A. Because for them, that was their best. And I appreciate them bringing their best today. And you as parents know the different personalities of your kids. And I know it isn't fair to maybe the kids don't see it as fairness, but sometimes, you know, we try to you know, I don't want to say judge, but you know what I mean, them all the same. But, you know, sometimes you deal with different personality traits differently. You know, and how important that is to understand and be sensitive to the spirit, you know, and just how to try to bring the best out of everybody. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, is try to bring the best. You know, God wants the good stuff, you know, to be able to rise to the top so that, you know, he can get the glory. And see, God knows the heart of each and every one of us. He knows our hearts. He knows why we're doing what we're doing. Most people can only see what we're doing, but God knows why we're doing it. And that's how God's going to judge. So instead of falling out of grace, you and I need to make sure that we fall into grace. If everybody's going to fall forward. Amen? Amen. We're all going to fall. We're going to make a mistake. We're going to do it wrong somewhere, somehow, some way. Just fall forward. Fall towards God. And get back up and try again. Then verse 5 and 6 says, for we through the Spirit by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, means anything but faith working through love. Here we see some really neat concepts here. And, you know, firstly, as we know, we've discussed this, we cannot live the life God has for us without the Holy Spirit. That's been proven. You know, in the Old Testament, the law, the people tried to keep the law, couldn't do it. They always fell short. It wasn't until Jesus got on the inside, working on the outside, that's when things really start to turn around. And that's what we have to remember. So it's by the Holy Spirit and getting to know Him. And so without the Spirit, it just is a series of trying and failing, trying and failing, trying and failing. Everybody been in that cycle? You just keep trying and failing. I mean, that's in my last several months before I finally surrendered to Christ, that was my cycle. You know, because I'd been attending church about a year. And I was paying attention. And I knew that I was getting better. You know. But I couldn't get good enough. I did know that. So no matter how hard I tried, I failed. I failed. No matter what modifications I would make, it wasn't till finally I surrendered. And that's when the Holy Spirit came into my life, and I didn't fail. I passed. I repented. And I surrendered my life to Christ. And then things started to really change and turn around in my life. And see, that's the important thing that we see, is that we get things in proper perspective and order. See, we need to develop a greater sensitivity to the Holy Spirit if we're ever going to grow into the Christian that God wants us to be. We have to develop that sensitivity and allow His leading in our life so that we can give God the glory. See, either the Holy Spirit does the work or we do the work. When the Holy Spirit does the work, He's actually working through us. He's actually working through us doing it. And this passage also talks about the idea of waiting. Waiting. You know, it's an attitude of intense yearning, eagerly waiting for something, living in righteousness. So that waiting where you're just longing for some. I'll be honest, I haven't had that feeling for a while. But it's the idea of, of yearning and wanting. And I do remember times in my life, though, when I was just, you know, I felt so dry, drier than cracker juice, if you know what that is. You know, you just feel so dry for whatever reason. Maybe you've allowed yourself to be distracted and you get so busy doing all these other things. And before you know it, you've went several days or maybe a week or longer without actually spending time with God. And you just all of a sudden know, all of a sudden something comes up inside of you and you just have that yearning, that hunger, where you just need God right now. And see, that's what the hunger that you and I need to have. And I know we're not going to have it all the time. I mean, don't work yourself up and try to get that. But, you know, there is times in our life when we know we need God, because that's where freedom's at. When we get to that place where we know we need God, then we can start to walk in that freedom. And so it comes by allowing Him to impute, means to give to us, the righteousness, which is right standing with God, where we don't have to feel ashamed as we approach our Heavenly Father and getting into His presence. Talks here about circumcision and uncircumcision. That's irrelevant. Remember, we've discussed that in the first few chapters, where some of the Judaizers were trying to bring legalism, where we know that Titus, who was a Greek, and he had went to Jerusalem, and he was an uncircumcised individual. And they had a problem with that. The Jews did. Because the Jews, the mark of covenant was circumcision. And that all started way back with Abraham. And when the foreskin was cut, and then it was a sign of, you know, through each generation, through reproduction and the circumcision, a perpetual covenant was carried on. Well, in Christ, that all passed away, because that would be a work of the flesh to have to do that. And so Paul is saying here, and this is, I mean, to us, I mean, it just doesn't mean anything because this isn't really our world. But to the people reading this, when Paul is kind of saying uncircumcision is not important, them guys were blowing a gasket. You know, they were just like, what are you talking about? That's a sign of the covenant. That's a sign of the covenant. You know, I can't think of something right off the top of my head that would equate it today, but, you know, what that would affect us in this way, but that's what it was doing. So as we're waiting for that, and then faith working through love, and this is kind of something that has always amazed me for whatever reason. You know, I'm a loving person, but I don't consider myself a lovey-dovey person. You know what I mean? Many people probably say, yep, that's right, Pastor, that's right. In Romans, my motivational gift is probably prophecy. I'm a little harsher. I can be. I've toned it down as I've gotten older. When I was young, I was a real bulldog, though. I will say that. I mean, I was pretty black and white, a lot of stuff. Anyway, I just started making friends a couple years ago. But anyway. But this faith working through love and what it means, how important love is in the faith walk. You know, a lot of times we look for formulas and we want to just do the ABCs and we forget about the importance of love. And this word love is talking about agape love, the God kind of love, the love that He came in. And in all actuality, love must be the driving force in our pursuit to have a godly life. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, it just explains it so amazingly, where it's talking about the idea of that love never fails. I mean, if you ever just really thought about that love chapter there and what it says happens when we walk in love, it's just is amazing how important it is. So to me, faith without love is mechanical, and love without faith is non-productive, but faith working through love is unstoppable. we can walk through that and get the glory. Verse 9, as we break this down a little more, it says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. Now, as we know what leaven is, leaven is something, let's just say a good example of leaven would be yeast. Anybody that's ever baked before, if you haven't baked anyway, yeast is something that you put in the flour and you mix warm water with it. Well, you put the warm water in the yeast first and it does its thing. And then it makes, when you put it in the bread, it makes it rise. It just takes over. It takes over what it touches. And so, and this is what sins are in our life. Sometimes it's the little sins, right? You know, they get in there. And you know, have you ever, maybe you bought some fruit and you stick your hand in there to get a piece of fruit and one of them's past prime, shall we say. Well past prime. And when that happens, it can affect the rest of it, the fruit in there. And if you ever bitten into an apple that's been buddy-buddied up next to a bad apple before, you do that once and that'll be it. The taste just carries over. And see, leaven, that's what it does in our life. It tries to grow. It tries to come in and to get in there to take over our life. One wrong thought can lead to many bad decisions. One wrong thought can lead to many bad decisions. Let's say we have a wrong thought pattern in our life, whatever caused that to happen. Maybe somebody done something wrong to you, and that happens. Well, now that because of that situation, you make decisions based on that pain, and so you make bad decisions. See, wrong thinking can spread, affecting all areas of our life. And that's why we have to be careful. Meaning, a small portion of legalism mixed with the gospel can corrupt the message of the gospel. You know, so that's why we got to be careful. Verse 13, it says, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So, freedom. Freedom is not to lead us into lust or sin, but into love for God. See, lust takes while love gives. And the importance of understanding the difference between the two. And see, this is why legalism thrives, because they think freedom will let people go out and just do whatever they want and to enter into sin and lustly desires. So, but really, you know, and what we have to remember is that freedom gives us the right to choose, so we need to choose wisely. So freedom can only be maintained when we choose God over flesh. When we choose flesh, we go back into slavery. It's simple as that. Many times we do that. The last couple verses I want to look at today is in verse 16 to 18. I know we've jumped over a couple because we've covered some of this information, you know, from several different directions. But here's where this kind of sums this up here. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay. That word walk is talking about habitual conduct, or a way of life, or consistent flow. It's a way of life. See, that's what we're trying to get to in our walk with Christ. And as we live out the Christian life, and we, you know, we endeavor to pursue this thing called Christianity, it needs to be a lifestyle. It needs to be an everyday thing. It just needs to be ingrained in us, and just so that we live it. It's just part of who we are. You know, I am a Christian, and that's how I want to live my life. I don't want to be inconsistent. You know, where, you know, you catch me on one day and I'm different than I am another day. So we need to be able to walk in that. Now, some of you know may realize this, but walking is an excellent exercise, right? You know, some people think, just walking. But if you really study it, you know, a lot of people, walking's a good thing. Does a lot of good things for your body. Well, walking by the Spirit is the best spiritual exercise we can do. Walking by the Spirit. Walking full of the Holy Ghost. You know, I've always said we need to be under the influence of the Spirit rather than the influence of the flesh nature. Most of you have probably been liquored up at least once in your life. I'm guessing, maybe not all of you. But when you get under the influence of something, it has a little bit of control over you. Well, when we need to get under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit dictate and govern our affairs and to be able to walk in that way. Let Him permeate our life and let Him lead and guide us. And, you know, when we make decisions in our thoughts, we do it by the way He thinks. And we do that by knowing the Word. See, the Bible says that spirit and flesh are enmity with each other. That means they're against each other. One glorifies God, the other glorifies self. And the old nature has home field advantage because we live in a fallen world. But remember that Jesus overcame the world. Don't make excuses. You know, look to the ways that, you know, God can help us to walk in that victory, because by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I can overcome. And that's what God's called us to do. So I'm going to wrap this up right here, just for sake of time, and encourage us to be careful of little leaven, those little thoughts that come in that lead us astray, lead us into legalism, lead us into the wrong thinking. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to us in a special way. If we have wrong thinking in our mind, the Holy Spirit's a teacher. He's the great teacher. He will show us things, reveal things to us. That's part of His ministry. And to be able to flow with Him and to walk in His power. Amen? Amen. And just to remind you, next week we're going into the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So I encourage you to read those ahead. I think it'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Amen. Everybody say, yeah, that sounds like fun. That sounds like fun. Amen? All right, let's pray.